In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children not born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known.
Well, good evening, and lovely to see everyone, and hello as well, of course, to everyone watching at home. So the hardest part of writing a Christmas talk is getting the introduction right. Let me let you into a bit of a vicar trade secret. This is the formula, the standard formula for a Christmas carol talk introduction. So you select an item of pop culture, a Christmas film, Christmas song, or a recent news story, and then use a clever link to bring in your kind of real message of Christmas bit. So this is how that would go. So Mariah, finally got All I Want for Christmas Is You to number one. And actually, if you take those words, there's some really deep meaning there, isn't there, against commercialism and about what it's really all about love. Let me tell you about real love. Well, that's how that would go. But this year, that kind of light bait and switch just doesn't feel quite right, does it? By any metric, this is a non-standard year. Even the very circumstances of this carol service. Here we are, listening to carols. What is the highlight of most Christmas carol services? Belting out the old favourites. But here we are listening, wearing masks, weirdly far apart. Half of the people involved are probably watching at home on their sofas. Fortunately, you guys are allowed to sing along as loud as you like. And not to mention the fact that for most of us, if we had any Christmas plans yesterday, those plans are probably in tatters today. And of course, if that is the worst of our sadness, then that probably means we're the lucky ones. Because for those who've lost people this year, they would love to think that it might be only one Christmas where they couldn't see their loved ones, rather than never being able to share Christmas again. And so the traditional Christmas story that we've revisited in our readings, that we hear of in our carols, has great appeal. An opportunity to step back from grim reality and into a kinder, better age before we're forced back into grim reality when January rolls around, or probably sooner. The familiar heavenly angels, the honourable Joseph, the pure and perfect Mary, the kind innkeeper, the humble shepherds, the wise men. But here's the thing. The Christmas story doesn't take us to a kinder, gentler age it takes us to a reality just as grim as our own. A poor family forced to travel for days to register for taxation of an enemy occupying power. Herod, lying, cheating, and the murder of the innocents, forcing Joseph and Mary and Jesus to become refugees. And how does it all end? Mary weeping at the foot of the cross as her firstborn son is murdered. Christmas is not about us stepping out of grim reality into the warmth of purity and perfection. Christmas is about God stepping out of purity and perfection and into grim reality, into a dark world. The context for Christmas is not magic and sparkle, but darkness, as our Christmas readings tell us. In Isaiah 9, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Luke 1, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. And in our last reading today, John 1 and verse 5, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. John is saying Jesus is the light and our world is the darkness. The context for Christmas is darkness. My childhood home was in a little village near Dover, a town famous for the White Cliffs, the castle, and having very few other compelling reasons to stop on your way to France. Our house was on a narrow, unmade road with only one neighbour between the back of our garden and a big old wood. So when night fell, there was none of that helpful London light pollution that we have to find our way around. It's dark, really dark. So that when the one street lamp at the end of the road wasn't working as it normally wasn't, then you couldn't even see the uneven road beneath your feet. And anyone coming the other way was a dark, threatening shadow. Darkness is unpleasant, unsettling, even scary. Which is why I own this. This is a 5D cell mag light used by the police and security forces worldwide for reasons you can probably guess. It's so bright that on a cloudy night you can even shine it off the clouds. And so it was more than bright enough to illuminate my road. And of course, if it does turn out that there's someone hiding in the hedge, well, you do feel a bit more secure carrying one of those. Light always beats darkness. However dark the room or black the night, a single feeble candle brings light, and the darkness has no power to extinguish it. But darkness isn't just the absence of light, is it? If we don't know something, we might say, I'm in the dark. And just as physical darkness is uncomfortable and unpleasant, being in the dark about something that matters can also be unpleasant, unsettling, even scary. And without the help of an external light source, we are in the dark about this life. Who are we? Why are we here? What is life for? Why are things the way that they are? We can guess. We can each come up with our own theories. But all we're really able to do is fumble around in the dark, trying to feel our way, but unable to see clearly where we're going. We are unenlightened. And John, our writer, says that in Jesus, a light has come to take away our darkness and help us to see. And with the light of Christ switched on, we can know where we've come from, where we're going, and so know how we are to live in this world. The Jesus who at Christmas we remember in the manger grew into a man who said this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. But light can also expose things we don't want exposed. Here's something else Jesus said. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. So often the reason that people are afraid to come to Jesus is because we are afraid that he will light up our lives and expose the darkness, expose the things in the corners that we'd rather were left unseen. And all of us have things that we would rather were left unseen. I don't know if you've seen this year's Tesco Christmas advert. It begins with a girl who wants to buy an incredibly sugary looking cake from Tesco, but she says, "I just don't feel like I can after I gave my sister that bad haircut." And the narrator replies, "Relax. After this year, Tesco says there is no loyalty list. So take that cake. You deserve it." Chuckle, chuckle. Very funny. The next person, "I may have bought too much loo roll," says a man as his son builds a toilet roll snowman outside in the garden. Someone else, "So did I, me too." Narrator, "Guys, it's fine. There's no naughty list. So tuck in." Well, as my wife Grace and I were watching that, we were, shouting at the television, "That wasn't fine." The national selfishness exposed as those who could emptied supermarket shelves, and those who couldn't, the elderly, the vulnerable, our key workers left without. Is selfishness fine? And how far does it go? We all know there's a line somewhere. What about, "I started a company that sold PPE to the government that didn't meet required standards and wasted millions of NHS money. Is that fine? What about, I Zoom bombed children's online classes with inappropriate material. Is that fine? I bought up litres of hand sanitizer and sold it at hugely inflated prices to people who were scared they might die. Is that fine? What about my self-righteousness as I watched that advert and judged people who bought too much toilet roll? Is that fine?" We all have dark corners. We've all said things we know we should have left unsaid. We've all done things we should have left undone, never mind the dark corners of our minds. Jesus says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil." But if we will come to the light, if we will come to the light, Jesus makes this promise: "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Not people who are on the nice list. There is no nice list. We're all on the naughty list. Whoever we are, God offers us the right to become children of God. Because Jesus, the baby in the manger, grew up to be a man who lived a perfect life. No dark corners in what he said or what he did. But when he was in his early 30s, he was sentenced to death by a kangaroo court. And on the cross of Calvary, Jesus stood in our place. He was on the naughty list so that we could be on the nice list, to take the punishment we deserve for the things that we've done wrong. So that if we will come to Jesus, his light will not just expose the darkness in our lives, but obliterate the dark corners in our lives. Not only everything exposed, but everything cleansed. If we let Christ in this Christmas, then we can have certainty and confidence in life and in death. This year, as we faced uncertainty and deep sadness, the message of Christmas is that Jesus came as the light to remove our darkness so that we can know God, to tell us who we are, to tell us why we're here, to tell us what life is for. "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God destined to live with their heavenly Father for eternity, beyond the reach of sickness and sadness and death. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not, cannot, and will not overcome it."